Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay opened in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout and like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voice of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand and to heaven and swore, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in them, in it, and the sea that's all in it, and said, there will be no more delay, but in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sore, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sore. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, and languages and kings.
Thank you, Gideon. You know, I just asked him just before the service. Whoa. Well done. Thank you, Gideon. That's Revelation chapter 10. And can you start my PowerPoint, please? There we go. Oh, thank you very much. What we've been saying again and again during this series, that Revelation is not just is not about a future that has not started yet. It's about what is happening in the spiritual realm right now, already. And yes, some things have not happened yet, but the overall message is about things that are happening from the spiritual perspective. So it has a message for all of us right today, insight in what is happening. And chapter 10, the first thing we read is that there is a mighty angel there in the first seven verses. And clearly, as we read about this mighty angel, it must have been very, very impressive for John to see this mighty angel. But he's robed in a cloud. He has a rainbow above his head. His face is like the sun and his legs like fiery pillars. Wow, this is not just one of these soft teddy bear-like angels with the little wings. This is magnificent, awesome angel. One foot is there on the earth and the other one on the sea, and you just can't look at his face because his face shines like the sun. Very, very awesome. Clearly, he has been in the presence of Christ, because all these things the cloud and the rainbow and the sun and his legs are all descriptions of Christ and of God there in the throne on the throne in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Here's a mighty angel who has been in the presence of Christ and comes with the authority of Christ. And he has a scroll in his hand. Sometimes it's called a little scroll, then it's a scroll again. But in the end, what we know, and we talked about this, studied about this when we had when we were studying chapter 5, that every time that there is a scroll in the Bible, it's about the Word of God. It's always about the Word of God. So here's, again, the Word of God. And and to eat the scroll is, again, a reminder. I told you right at the beginning of the series, there are more than 500 references to the Old Testament. You cannot understand Revelation without knowing your Old Testament. More than 500 references. And here's the reference to Ezekiel chapter 3, where Ezekiel was about to was called to prophesy, and what he had to do, he had to eat the scroll. And there it was told that it would be sweet in the mouth. Yes, of course, the word of God is sweet, as we read in the Psalms, in Psalm 19, verse 11, Psalm 119, verse 103. The word of God is always sweet, but here in Revelation is added, but in your stomach, it will turn sour. So the word of God is sweet, but it's not always very nice to hear. For some people, even for believers, it's sometimes hard to digest. Eat the scroll. Well, eat the scroll is not just here in Revelation and in Ezekiel. It is also eating the Word of God, as we read again and again in the Bible. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that's when it all started, when God provided the people of Israel with manna. And then he said, I want to teach you that you will not live by bread alone, but from everything that comes from the mouth of God. Eat it. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And the Word of God is not just information. It's not a book for entertainment, but it's a book for instruction, to encourage you, to inspire you, to persevere. It is life. It is the bread of life. And if the Word of God stays just in your mind, it will not do anything to you. You will not be changed. But you need to eat the Word of God. You need to digest it. You need to accept it. It needs to be part of you. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a moment. Then we eat the bread, and Jesus says, this is my body. Eat Jesus. Jesus, who is the bread of life, who is the Word of God. It's not just about head. It's not just about emotions. In the end, it's about the heart. There, the Word of God should be. And then it says, you must prophesy. The end of chapter 10, you must prophesy. That is to witness. All right, you have eaten it. You cannot just pass on information. No, you have to digest it. It's the Word of God. It's life. It has everything to do with your way of life. You cannot pass on information and then have a way of life that is not in harmony with what you are preaching and what you are saying. So now you've eaten it, now you must prophesy. To prophesy is to witness, and that's something that we will see in just a moment in chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, it begins with measuring the temple and the altar. We haven't read that yet. I'm going to skip over this, but from the first two verses, you read that the temple is measured, John is doing it, and this communicates that the worshiping community of believers are protected. Again, they are protected. Like Elmer emphasized last week, and I emphasized the week before, again and again in the book of Revelation, the the believers are encouraged that they don't have to be afraid. You will be sealed. Yes, you will suffer. Yes, you may even be killed, but you don't have to be afraid. I am with you, even in suffering, even in death, and you will be saved forever and ever, and you will be with God. So that's the encouragement of Revelation again and again. Yes, you are sealed. And then comes the two witnesses, and I'm going to read these couple of verses with you. Revelation chapter 11, the verses 3 to 14. I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying, and they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on earth. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, while their enemies looked on. At that very hour there was a severe earthquake, and 1/10 of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. The third woe is coming soon. Prophesying 1,260 days, a reference to a specific number of days, a limited time that they had to prophesy and to witness. They are called witnesses, and witnesses prophesy. Prophesying is not saying what is going to happen in future, but it could be something about the future, but prophesying is speaking the word of God. Yes, Jesus is alive. I'm witnessing. And we witness until it is finished. Because in verse 7 it says, when they have finished their testimony, their witness, the prophecy, when they have finished it. So God will see to it that what he wants them to say, to prophesy, to witness, to testify, that will happen. Sometimes we think, oh, why did he die before time? There was so much more that he could do or that she could do. And sometimes missionary, I know one of our missionary friends in Turkey, he had this heart failure at 33. And you think, why? He was doing a great work of witness among Muslims. Why did God take this missionary away? But God will see to it that the testimony will be given, that the words of God will be spoken until it is finished. And when somebody is taken away, somebody else will take over. And here, there are two witnesses, and the two witnesses, we are reminded of Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus meets Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets. We are reminded of this fact because Matthew 17 is immediately after chapter 16, where Jesus, for the first time, told them, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer. And why I'm going to suffer? Well, here is Elijah and Moses. I'm proclaiming the word of God, the law and the prophets. It's been there all the time, and I'm not just saying it. I'm doing what I've eaten. If somebody has eaten the word of God, it's Jesus. I've eaten what Moses has said, what the prophets Elijah has said. More than that, I am the word of God. And they will be clothed in sackcloth, a call for repentance. We can read that in Malachi chapter 4. Yes, there will be opposition, even persecution. I don't know what happened. Sorry. All right. Yes, opposition. opposition, persecution. And can we just go back? Let's see if this works. Yes, it does. But there will be miracles. There will be miraculous help. And maybe right at the end, just before everything, before Jesus returns, there may be perhaps indeed two very powerful people in the spirit of Moses, in the spirit of Elijah. We don't know. But until then, we, all of us, have the duty to witness. It was given to John. You must witness. You must prophesy. You must prophesy in the spirit of Moses and Elijah, and in the end, obviously, of Jesus. Well, the last couple of verses, verses 15 to 19, we haven't read it, but you can read it at home. It's proclamation and worship, again, a worship song. There's so many songs in Revelation. It's always about victory. It's about glory to God. But I just want to refer to verse 15, where we read that we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was. It doesn't add, and who is to come, because he has come at this stage. So it's only who is and who was. Because his kingdom has finally come. In closing, a call to witness for the church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we just read it together with the children. We are called to witness. And all right, we haven't seen ye Jesus, because witnessing is all about, I have seen the risen Lord. It's the heart of the gospel. It's the gospel that Jesus did not remain dead after his crucifixion and burial. He was raised from the dead. So witnessing is above all witnessing that he is alive. That forgiveness is there for those who acknowledge that it was because of them, because of me, that he died on the cross. But he is alive. So call for us to witness. And we can witness if we hear the word of God passed on to us by reliable people, people who we were even ready to die for the word of Jesus. But what do you witness? Are you just communicating information? Are you trying to argue with people who do not believe about creation, about miracles? That usually doesn't help. Of course, you need, in theology, we call it apologetics. You need to defend the Christian faith. But I think apologetics is much more for the church to become strong in your faith and not as a tool for evangelism. The most powerful and effective tool of evangelism is your life. That what you believe, that you see Jesus, that you have accepted him as your Savior, that you walk with him, that you eat the Word of God, internalize the Word of God. Yes, it is sweet as honey. It's not always nice because it means, right, you need to repent from selfishness. You need to repent from greed, from consumerism. That's our great challenge today, to repent from consumerism. Yes, it's not nice. It's sour in the stomach. But you can be sure that the witness will last until you have finished your testimony. You continue together. We as a church, together with other churches, we continue to witness of the risen Lord until he comes. Are you ready to witness? Are you ready to witness? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to be ready. But we are reminded again of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where you call us to wait on the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit, and we pray, dear Lord, that again and again, you'll give us strength to testify, to witness of the risen Lord Jesus. Help us to obey the words of Jesus, so that we will be faithful witnesses. Help us when we encounter opposition, when we encounter people who think we are old-fashioned. Help us, Lord, to shine the light of Jesus, because he is in our hearts, and we walk with him, and we talk with him. Help us, dear Lord, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.